Well, shalom, and welcome to the second hour of, it's 2 or 3 hours of Jewish Soul. I'm your host, Charlie Bernhout. Each week I bring you The Mix, and I have a very interesting program planned for this hour of Chazanut. In November 1994, I received a call from my friend, Cantor Meir Devere, my late friend, who was telling me that Cantor Samuel Taube was in the States and that he could arrange an interview with him. On my program of November 13th, 1994, I broadcast that interview. You will hear a fascinating interview about an incredible life of the great Cantor, Samuel Taube. A week ago, I spoke with Cantor Taube's daughter, Ruchi Avital, who lives in Yerushalayim. By the way, at the time of the interview, you'll hear the father mention that she lived in Ofra. She told me that her father had passed away in 2008, at the age of 94. The Cantor's two sons also live in Israel. Yaakov lives in Kfar Tzion, and Yona lives in Kiryat Sefer. And there are 20 grandchildren. Cantor Taube taught a master class at Taki, Tel Aviv Cantoral Institute. And Ruchi told me that her father had taught Helfgott early in Helfgott's career. I'm going to begin the show with several of Cantor Taube's selections, Ritzei, Kiddush, Naritzachor, and Morgain Ovos. And then during the interview, you'll hear Sim Shalom, Shema, Habet, and Kilek Achtov. So first, let's hear those selections, and then you'll hear this very, very interesting interview. So we're beginning with... Utsay.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll next hear the Kiddush of Cantor Shmuel Taube. Oh, what a stirring rendition of the Kiddush cantor Shmuel Tabe. We'll next hear Na'aritzecha. Okay, I may be running out of time, so I will play at the end of the program Morgana Vosa, as long as there's enough time. November 13th program of 1994. Chanukah is just 2 weeks away, and I hope you're getting prepared. Well, this past week I received a phone call from a friend, cantor Meir Devere from Fairlawn, and he told me that a certain very famous cantor was in from Israel, cantor Shmuel Taube, and I had the pleasure of meeting cantor Taube with Mayor in Teaneck on Wednesday, and then on Thursday I had the pleasure of interviewing cantor Taube, and so this hour is devoted to his wonderful recordings and a very, very interesting, or what I hope will, I hope you'll find a very interesting conversation interview that we had.
So before we begin the interview, let me play a recording of Cantor Shmuel Taube, Sim Shalom, and after our conversation, we'll hear more of this excellent, famous cantor.
Oh, yeah.
Very pleased to have with me Cantor Shmuel Taube, who is in from Israel. Good evening, Cantor Taube.
Good evening, Charlie.
You came in from Israel just a few days ago.
We came in 2 weeks ago from Israel, to Montreal. In Montreal, we were invited, my wife and I, because we lived in Montreal 12 years, and I was the husband of the congregation Bet Ora, and the congregation celebrated this year the 40th year of their foundation. And they had several affairs going on during the year, and the last event of the year was taking place the 25th of October, and that was the concert of all the Chazanim who were in this congregation, and I was the first cousin of this congregation, Bet Torah, in Montreal, and we performed Tuesday, the 25th of October, with the myself and Paul Kowalski, who is now in Toronto, and Pinchas Rabinovich, who is now in Los Angeles, and Arya Subar, who is the actual cousin in this congregation now.
That must have been an exciting experience for all the cantors from the past and present to be together. For my listeners who are not familiar with you, why don't you take us a little bit back into history. First of all, where were you born?
I was born in Poland, and at the age of 12, my family came to Austria, and my father was a chazan shochet in a small congregation, one of the Shevi Kehilot. People in the know the Shevi Kehilot, not far from Vienna. And this Kehila was called Lackenbach. And then when I finished school there, I went to the yeshiva at Mattersdorf, and I learned in Mattersdorf 6 years. And after the yeshiva, and my voice started coming, the voice is in our family, as far as I know, four generations. My father, my grandfather, great-grandfather, who my father was born in a town in Poland called Warta, or on Yiddish they call it the Wurt, not far from Lodz. There he was a chazan shochet, and I still remember him when I was a little boy. From this town also was born Chazan Adolf Kaczko, who also sang in the choir of my grandfather, who was then called Rabbeinu Shochet.
I have many of Kaczko's recordings, although I don't play him that frequently. But
He is known in the world of Chazanut in New York and in the world. He was a very great musician. And then I will make it shorter. I ended up in France at the age of 21.
In Paris?
I was in France.
Uh-huh.
I was also cantor. I became a cantor. First, I was chazan. My first job as a chazan was in Vienna, in the Schule Montefiore Schule. It's also a little schule, but very, very known. And this schule was also chazan Yehuda Mandel, who is also well known in the chazanist world, especially amongst the cantors' assembly. He passed away not so very long ago in Philadelphia, a wonderful man who was the chazan in that shul, and then he was chazan later on in Budapest, in the Rombach Temple.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And from there, from Vienna, I went to France and became chazan of the shul, Rue de Montevideo, also a very, very known Orthodox shul. And then the Shoah, the war, the Hitler came to power already before, in 1933, and I'm talking now of the year 1936.
was when you were in Paris, 36?
When I came to France.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And you were there during the Holocaust.
Yeah, and during the whole, then the war came and my parents came to France, and the war came and in 1943, in October the 10th, it was Hoshana Rabbah, October the 10th, I was arrested by the Germans and sent to, first to this, for a few weeks, to Drancy, near Paris, where all the Jews of France who were arrested were sent there and selected and sent to, with transport every week, a transport from 1,000 to 1,500 people to Auschwitz. And I was deported in the beginning of November 1943 to Auschwitz, and I was liberated in May 1945.
Wow.
Because by the end of the war, I was in Germany and I came, but really with the help of God, what saved my life, that I was a singer there, not a chazan, not even once I could sing chazanut or Yiddish or whatsoever. I only sang in German because I went to school in German and I know German well, and also French, and a little bit of Italian. So I sang sentimental songs and opera arias also. We had a small orchestra even.
Wow.
And that what helped to save my life.
Wow, that must have been some experience. Oh.
Yeah. Especially, there are certain songs here at the Germans are very sentimental, and songs, the songs by Franz Lehár and so on.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, after the war, you eventually got to...
I was liberated to Sweden. By the end, we arrived a few days before the war ended. I arrived. My wife came from... she wasn't my wife then. My wife is Hungarian, and she was lived in Holland during the war, and she was arrested in Amsterdam and sent to Ravensbrück, a very infamous camp, in Westerbork, she was sent to Ravensbrück from Westerbork, Holland, and then they all were liberated by the end of the war through Volker Bernadotte, who was the president of the International Red Cross, and he negotiated Himmler, and mainly to liberate the women, but some men also were liberated, and I was amongst some men. And we stayed in Sweden about 2-3 months to recuperate with the help of the Swedish government. But the last day before we returned to France, yeah, and then I got married. No. I wasn't married yet. Went back to France in July 1945, I discovered... We went through Göteborg, this is the second biggest town in Sweden, where the ships, the boats, the luxury boats left. So together with a friend of mine who was also a singer, I told him, let's find a synagogue. And I found a synagogue there, and they connected me there with the rabbi. And when I told the rabbi that I'm a chazan, he said, come right up. Because they were looking for a cantor there.
Uh-huh.
The previous cantor was called Chachtel. Maybe people in the know. The chazan of Göteborg was once Baer, famous composer Baer, who wrote a very large book of all the Nuschaot of the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
And he was once chazan in Göteborg. And on the original book, it was reprinted here by the Sacred Press. The picture of the synagogue was there. Is there on the first, and in this synagogue, I became the chazan. Not right away, because they heard me singing on Shabbat. I conducted, and they wanted me to be the chazan right away. I said, thank you very much. It's very, very nice, but my parents and family are waiting in France. So I went back to France, and then they sent me tickets and everything. And in November 1945, I went to Sweden to become the chazan in Göteborg.
In Sweden?
In Sweden.
Wow, I didn't know that. For how long were you in Sweden?
I was there a year and a half.
Uh-huh.
I got married there. I found my wife there. and we got married. Then I saw this is not a place where I want to be, and I decided to go back to Paris. They corresponded to me. They wanted me in Paris, but not in the same congregation as I was before the war. It was a different congregation. There was a lot of refugees in those times in Paris. And I stayed there for 2 years. And in 1949, they heard me and they wanted me in London. I became a chazan in London with the United Synagogue. They had many synagogues, many chazanim in those days, but it was after the war. And first I was chazan in a shul in the street, Poets Road, where before me was chazan Yaakov Kosovitsky, who just left before I came. And a year later, I became the chazan in the Hendon Synagogue after David Kosovitsky, who left it in the end of 49, I think he left for the United States and became a chazan in Brooklyn in the Emanuel Temple, where he stayed all his life till he passed away in New York. And then I decided also through Wallach, this famous manager, Yoshua Wallach in New York. People remember, still remember him. He brought a lot of chazanim to America, including the Kosovitskis. And he heard me through a recording, and he brought me to Washington, D.C. And I became the chazan of the Beit Sholem Synagogue, where before me was chazan Sholem Katz, and then Chaitovsky, who is now in Philadelphia. And then, 5 years later, in 1963, I went to Montreal, to the congregation Beit Torah I mentioned before, and there we stayed to the end of 1975, and all my children except my oldest son was born in Paris. The two other children were born in London, and thank God we went to Israel. The two of our children were already there before, and the middle one came together with us, and the others were married, and he married right that year in Israel. And thank God, and we have all our grandchildren, Blia and Ora, were born in Israel. In Baruch Hashem, we are very, very happy there. And I love Israel. And
you've been in Israel since 1975.
By the end of November 75. So this is just 19 years. Yesterday it was 19 years. The 9th of November.
Now, have you been singing in Israel?
I was singing not professionally, but 10 years later, 9 years ago, a school of Chazanut was founded in Tel Aviv with the help of Chich, this is Shlomo Lahat, the mayor of Tel Aviv, and Chaim Wiener, who now resides in Florida. The Chazanut world knows him very well.
I'm sorry, oh, he's in Florida, yes.
Yeah, and uh-huh. I became one of the teachers there, together with Yitzchak Eshel, and Naftali Herstig, and Eli Yaffe, who was the director, the musical director of the school the first few years, and it was quite successful. We produced a few very fine chazanim, and including Israel around, and Barzilai, who is now in Vienna, and so it's not directed to here to teach chazanim from abroad, but even from Moscow, or Lenny, I don't remember now, it was Moscow, I think in Moscow, the chazan of the big shul, a young man, came to Israel for 2 years, and I taught him individually in the school, naturally.
Uh-huh. In Tel Aviv?
No, yeah, the school is in Tel Aviv, but right. He went back to Moscow, and the other chazanim of one or two from Germany, and from all over. We have about 50 students. Not all are great talents, but some of them want to just improve their way of davening, not to be Professor Chazunim or to daven Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. There's quite a big number of Chazanim and Balat Pilot who travel abroad, like to Germany, to England, and the United States, and to South America, in South America, where Moshe Stern davened there for many, many years. The Moshe Stern, the famous Moshe Stern, was the cousin in Temple Beth El in Brooklyn. And he lives in Israel. And there are some very fine Chazanim in Israel, like Chaim Adler, and
you mentioned Herstick and Rand, and of course
two brothers, Rand. One is in Cape Town, the other one is in Ramat Gan, but he davened in New York this year for the high holidays.
How would you describe generally the situation of Chazanis in Israel?
I would say, generally speaking, it's the same situation as in the United States. Unfortunately, the Jewish life is different today than it used to be. The Orthodox world organized themselves not in big synagogues, but in smaller shuls, where many of them cannot afford to have a chazan. And not only because they can't afford the system, you have to understand that the very, very religious people, like Hasidim, and these people never had a chazan. Chazanim were generally in big synagogues, even in Poland and Russia. I mean, I came originally from a Hasidic stuff. My grandfather davened the whole week in a shtibl, but Shabbat, he davened in the shul of the town. And in the shul, they davened Nusach Ashkenaz, he was a chazan, and the shtibl davened Nusach Svat. But every town in Poland, especially the greater synagogues, they had chazanim, and some of them had choirs, and not to speak of Warsaw and Lodz, who had very great cantors and choirs, like the Kusowicki.
Sirota, yeah.
Was chazan in Lodz, and Moshe was chazan in Warsaw, and it was a different system. And since the Shoah, everything has changed. The same is in Hungary. You visited Hungary 3 years ago, it's Nebuch a Horban. They have one synagogue in Budapest, the Tabak Temple. They have the synagogue where Kvartin was once the chazan. And they still have the organ choir, but the attendance is 100 people, 150 people on Shabbat, with a lot of tourists in them. And the Orthodox shul, the bigger shul, those days seemed to be big. And I looked at it, now it seems smaller after I have been living in the United States. It's closed. And it's dilapidated. The whole area there is called the ghetto. The Rombach Temple has completely disappeared and destroyed, and it is some other buildings are there.
In Hungary?
Yeah. And the other towns, there isn't one town in all over. I was in Debrecen, there isn't even one town all over Hungary. Some of the shuls still stand. Naftali Herstik told me he was there also singing. And it's one of the most beautiful synagogues in the whole world. I can't remember now the name. But there are very, very, very few people in the provinces in Hungary where, before the war, all this was flourishing, with mostly of them Russian Chazanim, who emigrated to Hungary, like Kvartin, who came from Hungary, Linetsky, and Abramson was the only Hungarian Chazan. And the Hungarian Chazanim are also very great Chazanim. I want you to know, Charlie, that I liked the way the Nusach, the especially Nusach HaTfila of the High Holidays, they're wonderful. At this year, I'm not performing. I don't like the word performing. I don't daven Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur for different reasons. And I done Rosh Hashanah in Yerushalayim. We stay in a hotel in Davni Shul. And Naftali Hashtig is a great chazan. The service is just beautifully, and the choir is unbelievably good, better than good. It is Eli Yaffe, who is now in New York, and he's performing next Sunday a big concert.
Yes, with Naftali Hershtig.
I hope.
Yes.
Yeah. So he is conducting the choir. Let me tell you something fantastic. He accompanies the chazan. You never heard anything like it, like an organ. And they gave me the honor there the last few years.
This is at the Hechel Shlomo?
This is Hechel Shlomo.
Right.
Wonderful. It's one of the most beautiful synagogues in the whole world today. And wonderful decorum. There's about 1,500 people davening in Rosh Hashanah.
Now, you davened there.
And they gave me the honor the last few years to daven Maariv in the middle night. You know, second night the chazan doesn't daven, so they give me the honor, and the chazan asked me, and I enjoy it, to be in that shul, and I enjoy the service.
Oh, that must be some experience.
Yeah.
To be in Jerusalem also.
Yeah.
Well,
In Israel, there are very few chazan in the whole year. There is the brother of Naftali Hershtig, who is chazan in a synagogue in Tel Aviv called Hechel Meir. He's also a very, very, very good chazan, and I don't know in Haifa if there is a chazan. Maybe there is, but, they daven without choir, and Tel Aviv, actually, the big shul in Allenby, is a very large synagogue, where I heard this year davening Slichot, Moshe Stern, who davens in São Paulo, but because Rosh Hashanah was early this year, and it was 10 days, Slichos was 10 days before Rosh Hashanah, so he davened Slichos. The Slichos lasted 2 hours and a quarter with a nice big choir from that shul, but the shul now has no yearly chazan.
Uh-huh.
The reason probably is not because of the cost, but the shul is wrongly placed. It is in a business section of the city
uh-huh.
now. And the people don't live there around the shul. That would it doesn't work anymore.
And you also have the
Shoshanah, they have a chazna choir.
Aha.
Shoshanah, yeah.
But the eternal problem is a lot of people also don't want to sit and listen.
I told you in the beginning. This is the general attitude of the people today who daven, those who go to shul to daven. They have no patience to sit for 3-4 hours to listen to a chazan. Don't forget that in Israel, Sunday morning is like here, Monday morning, to go to work. And the only day of rest, Shabbat, Kedusha, Umnucha, is Shabbat. And they have other things to do. They want to have shiurim and learn and visiting Shabbat. And this, usually services start in Israel at 8 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock, and it finishes at 10:30. And I belong to a shul, for instance, in Rehovot, which is called the Berman shul, but it's an American shul. In English, because 99% of the people are born in the States or in England or in South Africa or in Australia, English-speaking people.
In Rehovot?
In Rehovot.
Uh-huh.
But they're calling out in the shiurim, most of them are in Ivrit, they all speak Hebrew. The children grow up, so, but to daven there for the Umut, you can daven Nusach Ashkenaz, Havara Ashkenaz, or Havara Sabbath. It doesn't matter. The fourth nobody. Everything goes. I like it. It's very nice. I enjoy the show very, very much. It suits me very well. It's very near me. This is near the Weizmann Institute. The shul, when it was founded, was called Bet Knesset HaMachon. But later on, the famous Rabbi Berman there, who died at the age of 97, I think, he was a leader of the Mizrahi movement and a teacher. Now they have built up, and this is also Yeshiva Tadarom in the same chaser, in the same yard there, and they now build a very big new teach a seminary which existed there before, but now they built a new building, a fantastic, nice building, and it's already open. So from that point of view, I'm very happy that I found a very suitable, because this is a problem for newcomers, for newcomers who go to shul. Yeah, a Jew, a religious Jew who dance needs a shul.
Uh-huh.
And then not every shul is fitting. You want a shul with people you can talk to, you can converse. You have memories together and so on and so on. So I found the real shul, but it doesn't matter. Yerushalayim, for instance, Shlomo is a different character. I wouldn't say a different character. It is also English-speaking because it's a lot of tourists. In Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, probably half of the Mitpalalim coming from England, or mostly from the United States, who have their permanent seats there. And they go there for the Yom Tovim to stay in the round hotels. Brick Plaza Hotel is opposite the shul.
Uh-huh.
And the shul also have a big catering downstairs.
Interesting.
Catering hall, which is connected inside with the Plaza Hotel. So the shul, a lot of rabbonim, retired rabbis, and when I remember the last years when Premier Minister Yitzhak Shamir used to come, but it's a freshman at the shul. Earlier this year, Weizmann was there the first day. And
I'm glad to hear some of them go to shul.
Almost the mayor of they go other shuls. You see, in Israel, there is a synagogue in Yerushalayim, I mean, Beit Knesset Shel Hanasi, where when Herzog was the president, the Nasi of Israel, he went to Beit Knesset Hanasi. But in this is today, I would say, the official shul in Israel is Heichal Shlomo.
Uh-huh.
And there is an important affair. They need something very important. It's taking place in this shul. And there's also Goyim coming to visit this shul. And it is an honor to have a shul like this. And to be the chazan in that shul is a great thing. And it's very enjoyable and very fine to daven in that shul.
Well, Kirta Taube, you've certainly had a most fascinating life so far, starting in Poland and going through Austria and to Paris, the Holocaust. You survived, thank God. And
this is the goal, you know. I don't know if, unfortunately, this is the goal of our people. I didn't do it. I didn't plan it, what happened. God wanted it this way. And the great thing is that we survived. You know, I survived. My transport, who left in November 1943, Drancy, consisted of 1,200 people, men, women and babies, children, old and young. And 29 came back alive in this transport.
Wow.
It's all documented in the book published by Beata Klarsfeld. People in the know who she is.
Sure, sure, the famous Nazi hunter, yes.
Two books, and, you know, the Germans kept order. They had documents of everything. And in Israel, in the area of attack, in Gush Etzion, where my son lives, big andarta, a big monument, very large monument for the deported Jews of France. And all the pages of this book are on the plastic. You can read all the pages.
Wow.
So the transports, every transport the Germans brought there had a number. And my name is there on transport 62. You can see, you find my name in the year, in the place and year where I was born.
Wow, what an incredible story.
Yeah.
Yes. Are any of your children into Chazonis?
My children are not the Chazonis. The oldest son lives in Gush Etzion. He's a pioneer. He lives in the kibbutz. He's very happy. There is, Baruch Hashem, five children there, Liana Ra. And my youngest is a daughter who lives in Ofra. they were about 10 years ago, her husband, who was born also, he was born in Kibbutz Yavne, he was a shaliach of the Bnei Akiva of the Mizrahi movement in Chicago. And when they came back from the States, they didn't go back to Kibbutz Yavne. They got married in Kibbutz Yavne, but they went to Ophra.
Ophra?
Ophra.
Ophra,
not Ephrat.
Oh, okay. That's also, it's in Judea or Samaria?
This is about, in the old, in the so-called Shtachim, this is near Bethel, which many people know about. And this is a community, about 300 families, and they are growing. And the shul is packed, always have a new shul of about 2 or 3 years ago built. But you have never seen anything like it. The people, it's a working class people, young people, they work not only, you know, they work everywhere in Jerusalem, but they live there. Those homes are not so expensive than in Jerusalem, you know. So they went to live in Ophra, and they're very happy. They're very happy. My daughter is a teacher. She has a teacher in English and in Hebrew in Chicago. She was teaching in the at the Crown Girls High School, Hebrew, and in Jerusalem, in the Hartman Institute, she teaches English. And my other son, the middle one, he lives in a town which is called Kiryat Sefer. This is a Haredi town, a new town. They are building it for, they say, 5,000 families. They have already 1,000 families there. This is exactly between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem in the area of Modi'in. Modi'in, also he bought there an apartment about a year and a half ago. It costs less a little bit than Rehovot. And it's more spacious, and a lot of American guys live there too, in Ophra and in Kiryat Sefer.
We've been talking about Chazonis, but I'm always compelled to ask about your feelings about the situation in Israel.
Politically speaking?
Yes, you know, just the basic situation.
The
yes.
country, in my opinion, is very divided now. I don't want to repeat this, as you know, the news here, in the same moment as it is in Israel, we know that all the news in Israel was going on in America. We have Kfalim television, we have CNN, and other, we have 30 stations, and the papers are the same. It's difficult for me to go into politics, but you can guess on which side I am.
Okay. And you're returning to Israel shortly, and you'll be teaching again at the...
The school is starting today, today the 10th. So next year, today a week, I will be going to school and teaching. Yeah. By the way, we have a director now. It's called Joel...
Alexander?
Charlie Bloch. Charlie Bloch. You know Charlie?
Oh, he was a cantor here in New York.
Yeah, Charlie is singing radio for many years. Good friend of mine.
He has a son also who is a chazan.
All time. He is, his son is the director, all good friend of ours, and we work together in harmony, and
that's I didn't realize that he moved to Israel. That's recently?
Who?
Cantor Bloch.
No, Cantor Bloch didn't move to Israel. Charlie Bloch lives here.
Oh.
But his son, Joel Bloch, lives quite, I would say, 6, 7, or 8 years he lives now in Israel.
Oh.
Years ago, he also started there a year or two in Israel, yeah.
I see. Well, I am grateful, as I'm sure my audience is, that you've taken the time to share your experiences with us, and we are going to be playing. It would take hours, of course, for me to play all of your wonderful selections, but for the remaining part of the show, we will be playing some of your outstanding recordings, and I know that we are very, very grateful that you've shared these thoughts with us, Cantor.
I'm staying now with Cantor Medevier. and I'm sure you'll be sending him the tape of this broadcast, and he will transfer it to me.
Well, yes, and I'm sorry, the last time I was in Israel, I just got so bogged down, I didn't have the chance to see you then last year, but with God's help, I will be there soon to see you in Israel.
Please.
If you tuned in late, this was a conversation with Cantor Shmuel Taube, who was just in this past week from Israel, returning to Israel tomorrow. Let's hear some of his excellent recordings. We'll begin with Shema Yisrael. cantor Shmuel Taube, Shema Yisrael. Well, next year, Habet.
Oh,
Time just goes by much too quickly. I had planned to play several more recordings of Cantor Shmuel Taube. We'll have time for one more, and I'll certainly be playing more of his selections in the future. I'm sure that you found his interview, this conversation, fascinating as I did, and I'm grateful that Cantor Shmuel Taube took the time to share his thoughts and reminiscences with us. We'll conclude with his rendition of Ki Lekach Tov.
time goes by so quickly when you're having a good time. I think we have time for one more selection. It just take me a second to cue this up. I trust that you found this interview with Chazen Taube of great interest. I enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Okay, Morgane Ovos coming right up. Wonderful voice, the great Shmuel Taube. Thanks for joining with me. Don't forget to tell your friends about the program. Remember that word of mouth is one of the best forms of advertising. You can reach me at cbjmusic@aol.com, cbjmusic@aol.com, if you have any comments or requests. Well, shalom, everybody.